Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the second half of the second season of Quantum Leap. It was only a 13-episode season, and I was thinking it was going to go a little further. But in this last half of the season, they introduced kind of a new threat to the project, amped that up, and resolved it. The end of this season was different than last, but both have enough of the Mystic mumbo-jumbo kind of thing that it's... I know they've lost sight of what the premise of the original series was.
Yes, definitely.
Because they're leaning a little more into the time paradox type stuff, this time even heavier than last time, but in a different way. And definitely it leaves it in a different direction for next season. And this season, trying to do Ben having a romance arc in the past was interesting and well done.
Well, we had two different love triangles going on. With the same couple. Addison was in her own love triangle.
With Tom and stuff, yeah.
Ben was in his own love triangle.
Yeah.
I loved the Hannah character. The girl who, if she hadn't met Ben, her life would have been entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
She met the right person at the right time who basically said, you've got a brain, but this is where you could go and use it.
Yeah. Well, I kept nudging her along the path at various places.
Mm-hmm. She had a great attitude on life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the final episode, when we had two characters with just polar opposite views on 600 days, her attitude was just so beautiful. We had those 600 days.
Yep.
We could enjoy and appreciate those 600 days. And I think for me, that kind of summed up the optimism of that character.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was kind of hoping that they were going to put her character to where she could have been one of the behind-the-scenes people of the original Quantum Leap project or something of that sort. Well, but they opted not to.
Well, we have no idea what happened to her after about 1976. We don't know if she's dead or alive in the present time frame, and we don't know.
Fair enough.
So they've left that door open.
Well, and where they ended with her, they could use her in the present day if they wanted to. I don't know that they will. I think she was kind of a one-season character, potentially, as probably was Tom. But either or both could either guest star or recur mm-hmm. in another season.
I think Tom was poorly used.
I would agree with that.
I think they waffled on what they wanted to do with him.
Well, it was never crystal clear exactly what his position with the project was.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for the love triangle with Addison. That's the main purpose.
For me, he was often a character of convenience. If yes. we need the love the triangle drama, that's what he's there for. If we need the workplace drama, that's what he's there for. If we need the how awkward is it to have him in the imaging chamber, that's what he's there for.
Or we need somebody for magic to talk to at the
mm-hmm.
kind of management level echelon yeah. or whatever.
Really, I think the only episode that I enjoyed the character in, and that might be a poor phrasing of words, is when we have kind of the internal investigation and the showdown, and Ian makes his grand confession, and here we have Tom with his military background, and Ian has to point out to him, I was unwilling to leave a man behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was a good scene for both characters.
And it really spins Tom's thinking about the season, if you will, and you can see him reacting differently
mm-hmm.
suddenly and having that pause of, oh, the things I've been giving people grief about, I should have been viewing differently.
Yeah, when it was spelled out to him that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was all in, up to that point, it was all in terms of science and experiments. But when it was put more into a military context of leave no man behind, it became something he could relate to, something mm-hmm. he could understand.
I was expecting he was going to get written out because there was, I guess his wife had died
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And that's a very much put right once went wrong, and suddenly he's no longer in play.
Yes. That felt like an obvious rescue. And actually, they had an episode that they easily could have done that in with almost a throwaway line. Didn't his wife die of cancer?
Yeah.
And didn't we have a weed killer product?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That gave thousands.
The weed killer could have caused the cancer and so forth. And that could have been unintentional fallout.
Yeah. I mean, when Addison's looking at the thing saying, you just saved thousands of lives, you even saved Tom's wife. Would have been great.
The following episode, how's it going with Tom? I haven't seen Tom since whatever. He and his wife are still, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't she die of cancer? No. You know, and then he could have figured out.
Yeah.
Kind of the.
Well, but they later established if you're inside the accelerator.
They theorize.
Yes, that's true. Okay, I'll give you that.
I mean, we go the entire season, two seasons now, with all sorts of things are changing in the past, and nothing seems to change in the present day. But now there's one thing, because it's involving people that are very much in and around their events. And now we've got the computer saying, oh, the butterfly effect has kicked in. How the hell would the computer know that and put that out?
But that is actually one of my favorite messages ever on computer screen. I should have had you screen cap butterfly effect achieved.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great. That's almost as great as the code they had up on the screen at one point. T equals time travel.
Oh,
Q
yes.
Equals quit.
We've got something. It may be related to this. And we paused it and it was gibberish code. It read almost like BASIC. But all the variables were so clear. Time machine, something or other, you know, activated. And this is, it's like, if you were to give a 10-year-old programmer, write something that looks like it would control a time travel machine, this is what you would have gotten, I think.
Oh, it was.
And no disrespect to the writers. They're writers, not coders. But
exactly. But it was entertaining. Well, and technically, I don't think the writers are the ones who put it up on the screen.
Yes, that is true. Somebody in the production company did that. If we got to have something showing on the screen.
Uh-huh. And they tend to think that it's going to go so fast or be so small, people aren't going to read it. So what does it matter what it says?
Well, I think it's more a matter of we only have so much time to devote to
it.
We've got to slam something out and get to the next thing because we got the signage to do and
all
these other things to show up on the screen. Because in this day and age, I think they realize for most shows, there's going to be somebody who cares enough to pause it and look at it.
There is that.
And even if nobody really cares enough, there's enough websites that need that kind of content.
Yes, yes.
So it's, a little funny. We did get some payoff on one or two things from first season that had kind of just been ignored all season. I have mixed feelings on some of that. I mean, the Calavicis coming back.
Yeah.
Was all hope is lost. What can possibly happen now? Oh, into the rescue, you know, comes out of nowhere. I was unimpressed with that kind of writing decision. I think they could have set things up a little better or.
Well, the first half of the season, Magic is an alcoholic, is a big to do. Second half of the season, it's forgotten.
Yep. Yeah, there were a lot of those sorts of things. Jen being in charge of security, I mean, she was the. Her job was office gossiper for most of the season.
Yeah.
And I think they made the decision to change things up at the end of the season going into the next to have one less person in the office so they could juggle around responsibilities and stuff and redo the dynamic.
Do you think next season we'll have one hologram or two?
I was wondering that because with two leapers that presumably are going to leap in tandem, although that's not guaranteed, you could have one hologram, but you could do it a couple of ways. Can they both see it at the same time? Do they got attuned to the other person? There will be times where they would need two holograms, but you've only got the one imaging chamber or you've got a spare now you could borrow. There's a lot of ways they could go.
Yeah.
The question is, does Jen become the hologram? Do they use Magic more for that? Do they try to introduce somebody else for that? I don't know. And part of it is they're making and remaking their own rules as they go. As much as they kind of claim to be leaning on the old show, and certainly the old show is in the backstory of this, but so many of the aspects are just chucked to the wayside from the word go in this series. The Leaper physically leapt in time, Whereas before, Sam's body was there to be inhabited by whoever he leapt into.
Yeah.
You know, they decided to not acknowledge that and kind of disavow that entirely. And there are other aspects of the series, the original series, that, I mean, they're clearly aware of.
When
Addison's using Al's
yes.
handheld device and whacking it just like Dean Stockwell did.
Yeah.
It's like, clearly they've seen the original show.
I liked in the original show how hard Sam worked to act like the person he leapt into would have acted.
Yep, to pass himself off as that person.
Yes.
And this entire season is based on the, not even the premise, but the realization and encouragement of Ben not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That he is actively telling people he is Ben, not whoever he is in.
Yeah.
Predominantly to Hannah, but then later to Jeffrey and stuff. And even if you take that aspect out, because I could imagine them doing that kind of love plotline thing with Sam, and Sam acting like the person, but then also acting like Sam with that person, and then acting as Sam with Al. You know what I mean? Kind of the
yeah
those aspects. But Ben never, ever tries to pass himself off as the person.
The closest he gets is in the Go to Mexico episode where it's, I knew this person at finishing school.
Well, he's trying to cover his mistakes using whatever.
Yes.
You know, oh, I'm a firefighter for 20 years. I know this because I have 20 years experience, maybe? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's saying what he wants to say and trying to find whatever excuse he thinks not will fly, but will.
Yeah.
Whereas Sam was able to either get stuff out of other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, lead them to the conclusion he needs them to get to, or otherwise kind of cover it or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be easy for me to say that I think Scott Bakula is a better actor than Raymond Lee. But this is the only thing I've seen Raymond Lee in, and I don't want to judge his acting ability based on this, because he seems like a decent actor.
I think it has a lot to do with the material they're given in the script.
I think it's the material. Certainly, he's reading the words on the page, but I think it's more the decision they made going in
yeah.
to have the modern-day workplace aspect be half the show and to treat the leaps as almost the MacGuffin of the episode.
Well, the bounty hunter episode. We're down in, I guess, the basement, trying to figure out how we're going to get away from some people who've surrounded the house. Ben, with the dialogue that's written, is making no effort whatsoever to try and sound like a former cop, to sound like a bounty hunter, as he's proposing a solution. He is 100% sounding like a scientist as he's trying to come up with a solution.
What I would have done with that episode, where he's the bounty hunter, to make it more like the original series, I would have had him think he's, again, the ex-cop turned bounty hunter, and that's kind of the quote-unquote genre of the episode,
mm-hmm.
or of the leap, not realizing he's Colt Seavers, the stuntman from The Fall Guy, which is why he's getting banged around and all this stuff the entire episode. In other words, he thinks he knows the path this leap's going on. He's wrong.
Yeah.
But that's the other part of the original series that they've just forgotten or ignored. Is for so many of those episodes, there was the Casablanca episode.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, he's the chimp to go in the rocket type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Driving Miss Daisy episode.
I love that one.
The Americanization of Amico or whatever one of the early ones was. The Right Stuff. I mean, you can name off shows, genres, and what have you of this is what they're
mm-hmm.
riffing on. It's the 50s. It's the Happy Days kind of, you know, feel or whatever.
Well, and it's funny you said that, because there was one episode where throughout the episode, we were trying to figure out what year it was because they hadn't told us.
Mm.
And we're like, is it the 70s? Is it the 80s? And this, at least these five episodes, it felt like Ben was leaping chronologically forward, like not bouncing around in time.
Yeah, but it was ambiguously forward as to how much time had passed.
Yeah.
And again, where the hell are we? And I mean, we've seen other TV shows and movies that are either period piece or time travel, and it some of them are so iconically in a given time mm-hmm. era.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the music, they've got the props, they've got the attire, you know, the whole thing. It's like, boom. It's like if you were to flip channels and come across a primetime TV show from, say, the late 70s or mm-hmm. whatever, the music is going to have the horns and it's going to yeah. have a certain almost disco-y kind of a beat to it and stuff like that. And you just kind of know what time frame that show was from.
The different lapels, the color
the
big scheme.
Lapels, the color. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is, you know, we've just landed in Charlie's Angels or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
These episodes had none of that.
There was one episode that we just didn't know if it was 70s or the 80s. And that doesn't seem important, except that for Hannah, all the leaps were in order. And to pull a Doctor Who reference, this wasn't the Doctor and River song.
Right, where they were almost going at totally different directions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think not having any of the leaps out of order for their two perspectives
mm-hmm.
was a miss. And I think they could have done something very different than the Doctor and River, but going along that same literal timeline where they're going at opposite directions in time, where Ben is meeting the same person, but younger and younger and younger each time. And it's like, imagine meeting somebody as an old octogenarian who's just grumpy and fed up. He's like, or they're in whatever position. Maybe they're happy-go-lucky, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But how did they become that way, given mm-hmm. what I know about them? And then you do the onion peeling as you go back a decade, another decade, another decade, another decade.
Yeah.
And if you pick the time frame right, you could have somebody that was a child during the World War I era, went through the Depression.
Yeah, that's what World I was just War thinking. II, yeah.
The 50s, even, you know, the roaring 20s, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You could really do some interesting stuff. And mm-hmm. even if you shift it decades later, the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. the whole me, 80s era, you know.
Well, and you've got the make love, not war in yep. there.
Yeah, the flower child era, yeah. you know, so many things there. And they've got so many things they can draw on because they've got everything that came out after the original Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
As well as everything before it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could do a Brady Bunch-ish kind of episode and do it where not only, because the original series would have been leaning on, oh, it's just the Brady Bunch, you know, he's playing Mike Brady, you know, isn't that wild? Here, they could do that, but also with the modern sensibility of blended families,
yes.
of the whole gender equality aspects and things like that, and being able to take even some of the same stories and plot lines from the original series through mm-hmm. a modern lens of now, because that was what was 90s, right around 1990 that the original series came out, give or take.
Mm.
So we're now nearly 35 years later.
Yeah.
And a lot's changed in that time.
You know, for the first half of the episode where they went to Mexico, wasn't sure if I was loving it. I mean, it was a good sibling dynamics episode, but it was okay. And really, sibling dynamics was about all I had going for it. Near the end, when we got to the Twin City, if you will, in Mexico, Dos, whatever mm-hmm. it was, they really had one scene for those three sisters that knocked it out of the park.
They did. Although I would say, to me, the scene that was most memorable.
The Universal Studios scene?
Yep. The floodgates have opened, the water's rushing down. Anyone who's ever been to Universal Studios in Southern California and done the tour.
Yes.
There's the broken down bridge, and then there's the water rushing down the gully kind of a thing. We have not seen the water rushing down the gully in a TV show in decades. At least I haven't.
It was so funny.
So for them to use it in a modern production, I'm like, damn. And they used it decently.
Oh, they did. They did. Although I have to say that was a pretty big size box for them to dive on top of to keep it from getting swept away.
Yeah.
And really, they went into the gully instead of going to high ground.
Well, it's not like Ben's a brilliant scientist or anything. Yeah.
Just say.
But even that one with the whole treasure hunting and stuff like that, I think if it had been written by the writer's room, at least mindset, if not the literal people from mm-hmm. the original show, it would have felt more almost like an Indiana Jones or all the stuff it riffed on.
Yes, yes.
I mean, there was one thing where we saw a map and a little path or whatever, but that was almost in passing. And I think it should have been a because that was something they did in Blood and Treasure.
Yes, recently, yes.
And is so emblematic of that era treasure hunter quest kind of movie mm-hmm. and story. So for them not to lean into that part of the genre, the tropes, and the style of the stories
yeah.
is part of what I think's missing here.
Well, we had no local guide. We had no local animals. We just went walking into the desert, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, there were aspects of that one that were just kind of strange. And Ben Song is supposed to be a 17-year-old girl. I mean, he had clip-on earrings, but there was nothing that really sold, I'm trying to be a 17-year-old girl.
Well, again, he never tries to be whoever he is. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm just saying, for me, that was a prime example of nothing in the dialogue they gave him was he's trying to fall into character.
And certainly the writing is a ton of it. And absolutely, there's nothing in the dialogue. But if you were to ignore his attire, is there anything about his body language in these leaps we just watched that was the least bit different from standard Ben? Whereas you look at Sam.
Yeah, I mean, not much. I'll give you it's minimal. But like in that one where he's a 17-year-old girl, he's doing a little bit of the trying to sit up straighter when he's on the couch with the other sisters versus hunching the shoulders a little bit when he's at the bar because he's an awkward girl. I mean, it's very minimal.
Yeah. Whereas if you look at the original series, there were times Scott Bakula was almost overacting into a caricaturist aspect of throwing themselves into the characters.
Yeah.
But it worked in so much as each episode felt like it had its own movie's TV style of the week.
But I can't help but wonder if there's an aspect from the direction point of view of someone saying, but we've got the character of Ian for that.
Yeah, but that's the mistake. That's not Ian's purpose.
Yeah, and I fully agree.
Imagine, though, if you had taken that aspect, not so much away from Ian, but if you had changed up Addison to be less kind of, you know, former military or whatever. Imagine if she had been more on the science side of things, but also a little bit of a fashionist, you know, into that kind of a thing. To where when he's going into the 70s, she's got some stuff she can pull out, fit the style.
That'd be funny, yeah.
You know? I mean, Al was so counter to the style.
Yes.
With the shiny jacket at times and the big hat. And, you know, he was flamboyant in a, well, and again, he was in the future.
I was going to say, he was flamboyant in a God, I hope we never end up wearing those styles kind of way at times. But
in a 50s sci-fi future manner.
Yes, yeah.
And if you were to take it to where you had somebody who, maybe she came to the project because she was the history expert. And she's studied stuff, she's always had an eye for, you know, the attire and stuff, because that tells you so much about it. And if she could basically just be looking and saying, this is what you need to know about these people, look at how they're dressed.
You know, in this era of we don't want to pay people be in the opening credits wages, we want to pay them just be in an episode. If you had basically one person you brought in as the time period or the event expert.
The consultant.
Yeah. So it's kind of a, okay, where's he landed? Who do we need to bring in?
Well, where I thought you were going with that at first is the original series had two regulars and that was it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you want to have more regulars now just to fill up part of the episode and stuff. But imagine if it was basically you've got the Leaper, you've got the hologram, you've got the generic tech person to run everything if you even need them. And even that, you could have different people coming and going. You don't need a regular for that. But imagine if you had taken the magic character and the cover for Quantum Leap, they're a writing company.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing movies and stuff. He's a producer or whatever. He calls people in. It's like, I'm doing this story. I'm trying to get it off the ground. I need to know everything there is about the advent of personal computers, late 70s, early 80s. What do you know about this? I think that'd make for an interesting story. You're an expert on this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they're getting information.
Yeah.
I mean, if you did that kind of social engineering aspect, versus Ziggy is just so misused in this series.
Yeah.
Because it's an AI that we, the audience, never directly interact with. It feeds them all the information when it's convenient. Yet in the original series, it spoke ad nauseum to Al.
In this series, at one point, it proposes a plan that the moment that they're saying, yes, go with this plan, I'm going, no, that's like the anti-Ben plan. There is no way he's going to do this. We know this.
Well, and the minute he starts, he's like, nope, can't do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, gosh, what a surprise. I don't know what they thought they were doing on that. They had to have somebody point out, not that it was something Ben wouldn't, shouldn't, and couldn't do, but if it were done, it would cause problems because of causality, you know,
paradoxes. And
they referenced the butterfly effect. They never once explained it.
No. Yeah.
Now, you could argue we're a more educated audience these days, but there's accessibility.
Yeah. Well, how often in the entertainment we watch and consume would you say it's basically a truism of we create our own enemies?
I think there are various shows that if they were not causing themselves the problems, there would be no plot to be had.
And, I mean, there was a lot to be said for that here, which is why at one point I'm like, oh, I should have realized this is where we're going, isn't it? And I asked you, do you think this person will turn out to...
Yeah. Well, when they bring in the tech billionaire or whatever out of nowhere...
Well, we'd had allusions to him.
We had, but it was somebody... Yeah, they'd mentioned him in the first half of the season when they got him in person.
Yes, yes.
And he was so over the top. And it was funny because that actor, I want to say James Fran, could be wrong on that.
Yes.
He played Sarek over in Star Trek Discovery and Strange New Worlds.
So he's gone from being a Vulcan to being an anti-Vulcan.
Pretty much. And he did a fine job here, just wasn't a great character.
I second that motion.
And I'm curious if they bring him back next season, if there is a next season. I don't know if they're getting a third season or not.
I was assuming they were.
I would think so too, but if they do, I think they should bring him back for an episode, but just as a modern day tech support kind of a thing, or again, as a subject matter expert on something.
Well, they've already said that character's an investor, haven't they?
Yes, something at the like end, that? He's somebody who's funding the project.
Yeah.
They turned an enemy into an ally.
Yeah.
And presumably he knows that.
I think it's been canceled.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing because I thought they ended in a way that would make for an interesting next season with Addison and Ben both leaping.
Yeah. I hope I'm wrong, but I think it's been canceled. And I really thought they set up for a better next season with them both leaping.
Yes. It changed up the dynamic in a good way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can understand them not getting a third season because the show's not, I enjoy the show, but it's a pale shadow of the original.
I expected after season one that it would switch to the streamer. So that would be what, Peacock? Because this is NBC. And I mean, at this point, if NBC has canceled it, there's always hope that Peacock would pick it up, I suppose.
It's possible. There's also the chance some other streamer could. Because that's happened on a few other shows. I don't know. And if they ended, I don't think they ended on a note that's a satisfying end of series.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's got enough things to tie it off, including references to the end of the original series. But it feels like they haven't completed their mission of bringing Ben back, or presumably they saved Addison, which is why he leapt originally.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've got two people lost in time, and we're done. It's just kind of not a great way to do it.
Two people lost in time. They're together at the moment, but that's an at the moment. So
everything Hannah was saying goes back to the quantum entanglement. They would jump together, but we've never seen it, so we don't know.
Exactly. That's where I was at.
Yeah. And I think having two people in the past, kind of a tag team, or not tag team, but a paired thing, allows them to do more intricate plot lines and stuff, not just you need to save the guy from the heart attack or make sure he doesn't die in the fire or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You can now do things where you need two people, a coordinated effort.
Yeah.
So I will be disappointed if there's not a third season to see them explore that. That having been said, if there is a third season, I can imagine sitting here talking about it, being disappointed having seen it too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not bad. They've got some good stuff, but the original show just had so much going for it and built so much out of really so little.
Yes.
Because they had minimal special effects once you got past the leap effect and the glowy door for Al to walk through, mm-hmm. for the hologram.
Mm-hmm.
And the, oh, he's passing through objects sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And character-wise, they built so much on the relationship of those two characters.
Mm-hmm.
Here, with this series, they've got five regular characters, a number of recurring characters.
Yeah.
Both this time in the past and certainly in the present day. And I don't feel it's as fully realized. And part of it is because they're splitting the focus on so many characters.
I was going to say splitting the focus on the time frames.
Well, that too. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the weakness of these leaps is because so much time has to be spent in the present day.
Yeah.
Whereas in the original series, we never, by and large, there's mm-hmm. like four episodes maybe as exceptions to this, we never left the past. We basically stuck with Sam the entire time, and it's just, when does Al come back?
Yeah. We were so much more invested in the lives. And I don't know, I guess in the original Quantum Leap, I remember feeling like we were helping the individual he leapt into, if that makes sense. More than here, I feel like we're leaping into someone next to the person that needs helping, if that makes sense. So, like, going back to the three siblings who go to Mexico.
Well, let's use this last one with the race car drivers.
Yes, yes.
The dad has the heart attack.
Yes.
The son is the other driver,
yeah.
that Ben leaps into. That's about all we ever learn about the son.
Yeah.
The daughter is working with the team somehow.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be a mechanic. I don't know exactly what she did. And we never flesh out those three at all, other than dad has the heart attack and needs to be saved.
Yes. So we leapt into the person next to the one who needed to be saved. In terms of we leapt into the son.
I think we would have in the original series too, though.
Okay.
But in some of the others...
Well, in the three siblings who go to Mexico, we leapt into the 17-year-old girl who seems to be fine with finishing school, and I think, is she going off to university, I think? She seems fine with her life. But middle sister needs to not go to Mexico alone and needs to embrace being non-binary. And oldest sister needs to get the courage to tell the two siblings, I want to leave my husband.
Who do you think Sam would have leapt into in that story?
Middle sibling.
I think it was the older one.
Interesting. Okay.
And we would have seen the abusive husband.
Yes. Very true.
So that whole plot line would have been different.
Yeah.
He would have basically gotten fed up, stood up for the older sister as the older sister and stuff, would have been there to accept the middle sister, and would have been able to give guidance to the younger sister to get her...
Yes.
On her next step.
Probably would have told younger sister, you can do more than just going to teacher's college. You can be more than just someone who teaches others. You can go and get a full degree.
Well, I think Sam's line would have been, finishing school isn't the end.
Yes.
It's a beginning.
Yes.
It's misnamed. You can.
Yes. You didn't just need finish. To
look pretty.
Yeah.
Go do whatever you want to go do.
Yeah. And I think you're right about it would have been the oldest. And I think there would have been something about, even if I don't remember that I stood up for myself and I made this decision, I'm counting on the two of you to help me remember.
Yep.
And
yep.
to help me do what I need to do.
Well, the implication in the original series is the Leapy didn't come back amnesiac having blacked yeah. out.
But
was a little
was
fuzzy on the details.
Yeah.
They have the lingering memories, but they literally didn't live through it.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed the original series. I think this one is fun. It's able to do some things the original couldn't because we're further forward mm-hmm. in time, better effects, etc. But I think they missed the heart and soul of what the show was about. And it's funny because I thought they were close to it first season with it really being about Ben and Addison.
Yes.
And then they break them up for the entire season.
I don't know why they did.
I think they did it so they could end where they did. And have the two of them physically together in the past and reunite, rekindle the romance, all that kind of a thing for a third season.
Mm-hmm.
That's great if you get the third season.
Yes.
So we'll see if they do. And if they do, we'll obviously watch it. And if they don't, well, we won't.
Yeah.
I was about to say that's a wrong somebody could put right, but honestly, I don't know that it's a wrong.
Mm.
Because I like the show, but I think the writers have written a show such that I can see somebody saying, yeah, let's not continue with it. And I would understand that.
Well, for me, I like the Addison character. The Ben character grew on me. There were aspects of Ben was very awkward at the very beginning of season one.
I like Ben other than the fact he does not become the characters that he leaps into and does not seem as emotionally invested in them as Sam did.
Yeah. I loved the Hannah character. I thought they put together a really nice character there.
Yeah.
I think Jen and Ian were kind of one-note characters, and I felt bad for them.
They were, and they were superfluous. I don't think we needed them. I think they could have been as fleshed out, if not more so, if all we knew about them was from Hologram Addison.
Yeah, which is sad.
But that's how we got to know about Gushy.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Dr. Banks, all the others.
Yeah.
So I think they were relying on, the writers were relying on the actors to carry the characters, and they didn't really write the characters.
Yeah.
So and that's why I understand them not getting a third season.
Yeah. I mean, there were a few scenes, more for Ian than for Jen, where they delivered this season.
Again, Jen's role was the office gossip this season.
Yeah.
The fact that she's in charge of security and is an ex-con or con, you know, whatever her checkered past is, which is fairly cliche.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And the actress is great.
Yes. Agreed. I was thinking at the beginning of the season, the gambling or whatever. I mean, they started to use her, and then we found Ben, and we abandoned whatever we were going to do with her.
I think it would have been potentially more interesting if they wanted to have the current time frame stuff to do that, but instead of all the politicking and will Quantum Leap survive and all of that, them treating it as much as a 9-to-5 job as they can, realizing they're working around the clock. How do they have their life around it?
Mm-hmm.
And if things were changing after the leaps.
Yes.
Imagine being a professional gambler and you go back to play poker with the same set of people. Their tells are different.
Yes.
Their gambling styles are different.
That'd be funny.
Their jobs are different.
Yeah.
And every time it's like you're starting over.
Yeah.
That would have been fascinating with Jen.
Yes. Yes.
Even if it was just, let's go grab a bite to eat while we're, it's going to take a while for the computer to lock in on Ben's next leap or whatever. Let's go grab a pizza and the pizza joint's changed or whatever.
Or you get a drink from McDonald's and the M is upside down and suddenly it's a W.
That's apparently what they do over in Japanese animation, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. But no, they'd rather do the over the top, is Quantum Leap going to survive or not?
Yeah.
And apparently it didn't. So, or doesn't seem to have.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.